America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr., and excited to have with us our next guest, who is the voice of Atlanta Falcons, the voice of the ACC, the great Wes Durham is with us. And Wes, thanks for being with us, and good evening. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Nice to be with you.
What did you do you have any initial thoughts here on this first reveal of the college football playoff, which I think is going to be confusing to a lot of people because the rankings are not going to correlate to the seedings.
Right.
It was pretty good news for the ACC. I think they had four or five teams in the top 25. But Miami right now, if the season ended now, they would be the number three seed.
Right, correct. Yeah, the ACC has five, which is the SEC has eight. But Oregon and Ohio State, two teams from the Big Ten, are the first two teams in the ranking. The interesting part about this, and believe it or not, I still think people are kind of wrapping their arms around this process. And so tonight they're finding out what you just mentioned for the first time, that even though Miami is the four seed, or they're fourth in the poll, they would be the three seed when it comes to the bracket. So as we move through this week to week in the month of November, Joe and Don, I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how the little adjustments occur. But, yeah, for the ACC, look, you've got Miami at four. You've got SMU on the first number out at 13. You've got Louisville at 22. You've got Pittsburgh at 18, Clemson at 23. So there's still plenty of artillery and still opportunity, especially if you're SMU, to potentially get in the mix before you get to the ACC championship game. And to be honest with you guys, that's kind of the script I've talked about with so many people is, can you get two teams playing in Charlotte for the championship? Like if we were to go tonight, Miami undefeated, SMU one loss, there would be a possibility, I think, that SMU may have an opportunity, or Miami, the loser of the game, would have a chance to join the winner in the college football playoff, which – for me, in terms of following the ACC, is really one of the more important aspects of it, I think.
Wes, you've spent, I believe I have seen that you had done a couple SMU games or been out.
I've done more than,
seen them
I've done more than a couple, Don. I've done more than a couple. I've done four in the last 6 weeks.
Well, then you're the expert.
He's the secondary voice of SMU.
Yeah.
You're the expert we needed. You know, with our schedule, I'm lucky. I don't know who's on who or where's anybody at, but I do remember that. But
yeah.
When you watch Rhett Lashley, and we're so familiar with him here, everyone in South Florida realized that he was something special. But what he's doing out there is, in my opinion, you know, he's in a great spot. Let's be honest. Dallas is a great spot to recruit players, and then he's done a good job with Miami players and other players around the country. But what seems to be their magic sauce out there?
Well, I think there are a couple things at play. One, they were ready to make this move when it happened because Sonny Dykes had done such a good job there. Now, remember, Sonny Dykes with Rhett as the OC before he came to Miami, you know, they were kind of already ascending, right, Don? And I think when Sonny took off for TCU, Rick Hart, the athletic director, understood that Rhett was probably ready for this opportunity. And to Rhett's credit and to the credit of his coaching staff, he's gone in there and really built a solid infrastructure. Roddy Jones, who's, as you guys know, is a friend of mine, and we did games together on ACC Network. He did about three or four of their games last year, and he told me, he said, the thing that strikes you about this crowd is that not only are they ready for this, he goes, I think they've got a chance to come in and be pretty good. Now, did we all realize they would you know, be at this point and be, what, 7-1 and that kind of thing. I don't think we are 8-1 at this point. I'm not sure we thought that, Don, but what we did think was is that offensively they were gifted. Where mm-hmm. I think where the metric has changed for me with SMU is I think they're pretty good on defense. In fact, I think they may be top five in the ACC by the end of the year. But they are deep, too. They've got players. And you don't go through the injuries they've had without, you know, having depth. And that's been the other impressive thing about them. Now, did they skate at Durham? Sure. Turn it over 6 times, find a way to win the game? Oh, yeah. That's a hell of an effort. Now, remember, they turned it over 6 times, and Duke did not score a point off any of those turnovers. So I'm pretty excited to see what they can do when they get cranked back up next week against Boston College. They've got a road trip to Virginia, and then Cal comes to Dallas to finish the regular season. On paper, I think they're going to finish 11-1. We all know stuff happens, right? But I think they're 11-1. I think they're going to be in the ACC championship game, and I think they're going to be playing Miami because I think Miami is in a really good situation and has gotten through, kind of the difficult part of the schedule to understand now that this thing, and tonight it crystallizes for everybody involved. The first time this thing comes out, in my opinion, now it becomes about what Miami has done so far in this season and to get it to Charlotte and to then kind of assure themselves a place in the playoff.
Wes, in order to get there, Miami's got to come to your city on Saturday to play Georgia Tech. We don't know right. about the quarterback, but explain to our listeners what Miami's going up against with Georgia Tech.
Well, it's one of two ways, and you hit it on the head, Joe. It's either if Haynes King is playing, Georgia Tech is a different team than if he's not playing. And I don't want to be that dynamic or dramatic about it, but that's the reality of it. When Haynes King is playing, Georgia Tech is a significantly different team. Now, if he plays, where is he on the scale of 0 to 100 with health, right? When you've missed a couple, and he's missed 3 weeks, if you count all the bye weeks and so forth, he's missed not only 2 ball games, but he's missed 3 weeks with the bye and toe. So, for me, if he's ready to go, is he anywhere near 100%? I don't know that. But when he plays, his ability not just to throw the football, but his ability also to be a factor in the run game just helps their entire offense. And they have clearly missed him. In fact, I think they would have won the Virginia Tech game had he played. Their inability to really generate any kind of offensive continuity, I think, hurt him in Blacksburg. But he's a difference maker for them. And when healthy, as you guys know, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC. Their offensive line has been very solid. The run game has been good. But as I said earlier, it's better with him complementing in the throw game. Defensively, they're better, but their numbers are not where they want them to be. In the loss to Notre Dame, they weren't able to get Notre Dame sat down at all in the run game. And against Virginia Tech and against Louisville, turnovers botched any real opportunity. I think they had a chance to win there as well.
Wes, I thought early in the season, of course, Georgia took it to Clemson pretty good, and then sure. Clemson got on a roll, and I'm watching this deal. And then a couple weeks ago, of course, we were at Louisville, and that game worried me before we even got up there. And I was watching Louisville very, very closely, of course, coming into that game. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if we get out of Louisville, we got a pretty good chance to do some stuff. And sure yeah. enough, Louisville, I wouldn't say snuck up on Clemson, but they put it on them. And two-part question, how good is Louisville, and what's the status of Clemson? I mean, a 2-loss already, and who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think the Louisville question, Don, to your point and what you guys saw, is I think Louisville's a very good football team. I think they are top 3-4 in the ACC, right?
Yep.
I think what, you know, Jeff Brohm has done in the portal is pretty impressive when you consider kind of these first 2 years to do it with two different guys, Jack Plummer last year and Tyler Shough this year, right? But to me, where Louisville has changed the game is to get a kid on campus like the Brown kid at running back. I mean,
that's right.
you get somebody like that who is changing everything you think of in terms of the way they run the ball, then something's going on there that's a real positive. I think they've gotten better in the offensive line from last year to this year. And I think defensively they've been steady. I think you guys would understand that, having seen them live. They're steady. I don't think they're going to blow you over. I don't think they're going to hold you to a field goal. I just think they're steady. But for me, what they did Saturday night was they imposed will on Clemson. And not many teams do that, especially not at Tiger Town, right? And so the way I looked at the game now is the way I looked at Clemson. It's more about Clemson than it is about Louisville. You give Louisville all the credit in the world, but at the end of the day, Clemson knows how to win those type games. That's in Clemson's DNA. And the fact that it did not happen, to me, is a sign of maybe, you know, Clemson just – they picked a bad day to have a bad day. I mean, Clemson lost, Iowa State lost. It was just not a Pitt loss, you know, all these other teams. So then what happens in that, you get lumped in with everybody else. And for Clemson, I think it's a real gut check, to be honest. I mean, because think about this now. Pitt plays Virginia on Saturday. Clemson is going to Pittsburgh next week. And, you know, as big as that Pitt game is, you guys know like I do, the game Clemson desperately does not want to lose is the South Carolina game again for the second time in 3 years. Because if that happens, then we got, you know, we got a lot of issues going on there. But I'm as surprised as anybody else with what I saw from Clemson. And it's going to be equally surprising to see how they respond, I think, next week when they're a Pitt, for sure.
Wes Durham of the ACC is our guest. Wes, if Cam Ward takes Miami to an undefeated regular season, does he win the Heisman?
Does in my book. In fact, I mean, I think it's almost clear-cut right now that he's, you know, he's the top guy. Now, you know, we're going to have to couch this a little bit for the, you know, we all know how dramatic November and December can get, right? Guys can have moments, but he had his moments with the, and I told you this, Joe, he had his moments when he had that two-hand push pass in the Virginia Tech game. I mean, anybody throws a basketball chest pass for a completion, it ends up being a damn near touchdown, Don. They that's their moment. But I think the thing that I continue to be really impressed with, including Saturday when I was watching the Duke game, is just the poise he plays with. I mean, his poise, let alone the smoothness and all the things he does as the quarterback of the Canes, but it's his poise. I mean, when it's like all heck to breakfast is going on around him, he figures out a way to keep everybody calm and inevitably flying Restrepo. I mean, good heavens. It's like, you think Cam Ward is standing back there. It feels like he's there for 20 seconds. And the next thing you know, here comes Restrepo streaking across the field, and he throws it to him. And I can't imagine the back-breaking feeling that must be for Canes opponents. Because I think Miami's played some good football teams this year, right, guys?
Yeah.
And inevitably, the play that happens is like a third and eight. And Ward takes a snap. And, Don, you're laughing because you know I'm right, correct? I mean, he stands
you
back
are.
There.
You're 100%
like
right.
10 minutes, he dances to the right. Here come these guys flying at him. He moves back to the left. And I'll be damned if it's not like Restrepo, wide open somewhere. And I'm like, holy smokes, what's this guy do? And I think it's awesome to watch. I think he's – and, Joe, I told you this. I'm a football junkie. I watched him play at Incarnate Word one time in an FCS playoff game. I mean, I thought then, holy smokes, and I'm one of these guys that stays up late, and I watched him at Washington State. And when I heard he was going to Miami, I thought, oh, my heavens, with the guys and the development of the offensive line, this could be really something. And Shannon and his group offensively have done just a terrific job for Miami.
Let me ask you this. 10 weeks ago, or thereabouts, Florida State's number 10 in the country.
Sure.
And come off a 13-0 and then 13-1 season. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they lost their quarterback, which affected the end of the season. And now they are a one-win team. What happened and what does happen at the end of this year?
Well, you've played on big-time football teams. So you probably know some of this is beyond the comprehension of the media, the fan base, and everybody else, right? It's about the locker room. So that's one. The part that we can see is, and unfortunately, Don, when they started the season, I wasn't particularly enamored with what I thought was not a very tough football team. I didn't think they were physical. I didn't think they could stop the run or run the ball. And, you know, it's funny, the work I do in the NFL, it always comes back to how good are you in the offensive and defensive lines. Because if you're not acceptable, you're going to have to really do some things to get your team to win. And when you do that, you better be lights out at the skill positions. And let's be honest, in the National Football League, as you guys know, in Miami, you got to be really good at quarterback to have that kind of year. That's just the way the league works now. Well, at the highest level of college football, you got to be good at quarterback. And when you're not good at quarterback and you don't have that kind of, you know, internal toughness that I think it takes to be a really good college football team, it's going to be hard to win. And for me, those are the two or three things about Miami. I don't think Mike Norvell's a bad football coach. I don't think any of us do. But when it starts bad and you can't recover it, I mean, Joe and Don, you guys know this, that's a lonely damn feeling for a head football coach. And every once in a while, you'll see them play, and they show him on the sideline, and it's kind of the look I see from Mike Norvell. It's that lonely, like, man, did we mess this up with a combination of things? And, I don't know that they're going to win again, because Florida certainly took some momentum on Saturday, even losing to Georgia. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how this impacts and what Florida State looks like in 25 for sure.
Wes, always a pleasure to have you. You're in Pittsburgh this week?
I am. Saturday night, Virginia and Pitt, and then next week we're in Chapel Hill for Wake Carolina, and we'll see where the map sends us in the last 2 weeks. I can tell you we've already been to the New Frontier in Stanford, California, and I look forward to getting your boys' report when you go out there for the first time.
Yeah, no, we've already been to Cal. We went to Berkeley. That was enough for one year.
No. Berkeley's one way. Stanford's the other, Joe. I mean, yeah. You've been to the New Frontier, but you haven't been to Palo Alto. You've been to Berkeley. That's two different places, Joe. I don't know that you know that, but we got two spots out there.
We're going there.
Two different planets.
Yeah. Hey, Berkeley. Hey, let me tell you something. Berkeley is not Charlottesville. Is it, Don? We can confirm that, can't we?
No.
Yeah.
I can confirm that.
Yeah.
We are one of the schools in the ACC that goes west for football and basketball. So in basketball, we get the double treat. We get Stanford and Cal.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's the new frontier, boys. We all got to go eventually. As I told those guys in Chapel Hill last night when I opened basketball season in Carolina, I said, yeah, you think you're skating Dallas, Berkeley, and Palo Alto. I got news for you. Eventually, we all got to go, fellas.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right, Wes. Thank you very much. We'll see you along the way here somewhere.
I hope so, guys. Be well. Good luck, okay?
All right. Take care.
See you, Wes. Thank you very much.
You bet.
That's Wes Durham joining us.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.